much about.
Hey, man, I love you, bro. I wouldn't hurt you. I'd never put a hand on you.
I know that.
Just don't f*** up, because I'm not the only one with hands in this world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I love you, too. Let's do this.
Yeah, hey, stop talking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Funny.
Beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Yeah.
This doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it.
We know it sounds ridiculous, but it's happening, and we want to warn you about it.
And now.
I know you've all seen normal people. Can you pick one and act like that?
Our feature presentation.
Whoop-dee-dee-scoop, scoop-dee-dee-whoop, whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop, poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop, whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop, poop-dee-dee-whoop-scoop, poop.
Just reminding you that it's
poop.
Here.
Well, scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
No.
I'm worried that Kanye is not funny anymore.
Nah.
I'm worried that we can't enjoy the old poop-dee-scoop times back when Kanye was just entertaining.
Poop-dee-scoop was how long ago?
I don't know, a week. Five days, something like that. Don't you feel like something's kind of changed overnight?
No, this has been there this whole time, and he has been using his platform for bad for a while. Mm-hmm. But now everybody saw it on a grander scale yesterday.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Kanye sat in the TMZ newsroom yesterday and had some unconventional thoughts.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice.
Right there you go. Well,
yeah.
Bye, Kanye.
See, I don't know. My opinion is sort of different than that on Kanye, and I think it's when he starts getting into the cycle of putting out an album.
Mm-hmm.
He ramps up the crazy. Just says stuff that he knows he shouldn't. What shouldn't I say? Okay, I'm going to say that. And it gets a tremendous amount of attention.
It does, but there are, well, as we'll hear in a moment, Van Lathan, our friend over there in the TMZ newsroom, who jumped up and confronted Kanye on it, as he points out, though, you're not just saying something to promote an album. There are real-world consequences to the ideas that Kanye shares to his followers who will listen to him and believe him. Am I wrong about that?
But I don't think there's real-world consequences for Kanye.
That's the problem. That right there is the problem.
So he could do it, and it doesn't affect him at all.
No repercussions.
No repercussions, but he is saying things that are patently false, that if you have that platform and you have a lot of younger people that may not know the history of America and may not know quotes you're attributing to Harriet Tubman that are false, mm-hmm. you are spreading lies, and you are doing that on purpose to sell an album, you're a scumbag.
Yes, I would say yes.
You're a scumbag.
Yeah, he's fake newsing it up. Here's some more of that sentence after slavery was a choice.
Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks. So prison is something that unites us as one race, blacks and whites being one race, that we're one, we're the human race.
I think Kanye thinks that every thought he has is a great idea.
Oh, I think that's true.
I think that's where he's coming from. That's part of the problem is, look, if there's one thing we've learned from doing this job for a long time is you got to edit, man. You just can't say everything that comes to mind. So Van is our hero in the newsroom. You guys saw this video, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable on the spur of the moment and faced with what must have been an intimidating conversation to have with somebody that Van obviously admires very much. To be so eloquent and so forceful to rebut what Kanye had said.
Dude, do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that
is because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living a life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
Amen to that, right?
Yeah. Thank God for Van Lathan, because if he wasn't there, that whole newsroom would have just continued kissing his ass.
Yep.
It's a problem. It is a real problem.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And I understand. I know we'll be talking more about Kanye later, Kevin. I did not watch or hear any of the interview that you're going to be bringing
I watched
us later
the whole
today.
Thing, and it was a long, long piece. An hour 45.
That's too much Kanye.
Yep.
You love Kanye, but that's too much Kanye, right?
People were saying yesterday that Van basically summed up in less than a minute what Charlemagne the God couldn't do in almost 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't think he was necessarily trying that hard.
You know Charlemagne what I mean? Was. He was just right. giving Kanye, like, let him rant and it'll get a bunch of views, maybe.
He would throw out some generalities like that. Like, he's sort of around the edges of what Van Lathan said, but he never came out and said it like Van Lathan did.
Yeah. Well, I miss Twitter-free and quiet Kanye. I will tell you that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Show your face off, Kevin!
Kanye West does an interview with Charlemagne the God on today's program. Highlights of that. Stupid things you did when you were drunk. I know it's hard to believe, and I know that we're not going to have any calls from our audience.
Yeah, how many hours are we setting aside for that one?
I mean, we really could do it all day. But
we can do it all day just from the hosts on this show.
How dare you? You're crazy about the royal wedding. Look, I know I'm the opposite of that, and I'm crazy against it, but, I mean, I can see if you're sort of interested.
Right.
That's as strong as it gets.
You can't see people setting their alarm and having a party for it.
No.
Kevin, I'm predicting right now you're going to watch it.
All right, let's put money on it.
I think
guarantee you I'm not.
I think you are going to get more hyped every day as we get closer to it. And then it's going to be something that you just can't not watch.
It's going to drive me crazy every day more and more that I would throw my television out the front door before I would watch it.
You won't even hate watch it?
No.
I might have something that changes your mind coming up.
Oh.
I might.
Okay.
A new fun real fact?
It might change a lot of our minds.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
What's up with Florida on the program today?
Yeah.
We're going to talk to our old friend Dave Duchovny, who's written another book. It is Book Wednesdays.
Is it?
It's whatever day it happens on. We're going to talk to Jay Milton, the guy that organized the 0.5K race.
Brilliant. Genius.
A little over 500 yards total.
Genius.
And there's donuts, and there's a breakaway halfway, and a smoking section. It is
beer
genius.
On both ends.
It really is genius. You have to drink beer with both ends?
It's gross. Yeah, that's the only terrible. Part I really
of
think is
race.
Odd.
Wow. Of the race.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah starting to finish the
butt
race.
Butt chugging to start. Right? It's like, save that for, you know, yeah, you finish.
Plus, we've got your tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Two more chances for you on this morning's show to attend the Weenie Roast 1 week from Saturday at the StubHub Center. Tickets are still on sale, by the way, AXS.com. You can win them this morning in the third row. How about that? Got them for you in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hour this morning on K-Rock. Allie, what's happening this Wednesday morning?
I'd like to give you a royal update.
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about, but inexplicably do. It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
I don't like his attitude on that intro.
I do. I
very
like it.
Very negative.
It's very solid.
Yeah. Well, here's your quick royal update
before
I get to the part that's going to turn you completely around.
Okay. Right? So I have to listen to the update first?
Yes.
Okay.
I sure do.
It seems like, okay.
Just so you know, Prince Harry has been on a strict prenuptial diet that cuts out carbs and processed foods.
Ooh, tell us more.
He is sucking down fresh fruit and fresh juice.
Which fruit? Do you have a list?
I do not have that
well,
list.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
I will do a deep dive into that. Meghan Markle is a serious health nut. She loves yoga, clean eating, and can be seen jogging the grounds of Kensington Palace.
How far does she jog on a daily basis?
Again, not here.
Okay.
But,
what shoes does she wear?
Well, obviously, trainers. That's what they call them.
Sure.
Out there in the UK. Not sneakers or tennies like they do here. Just know that Prince Harry wants to show his bride a rock hard six pack on the wedding night.
I'm sorry, rock hard what?
Six pack?
Oh, six pack.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry. I probably didn't enunciate that very well. And then you start thinking about Prince Harry and woof.
Right?
Good Lord, the day's half over. What? All right, here's where I'm going to turn everything around.
Okay.
You know
this is
going to
get me interested in the royal wedding.
It will.
Okay.
You know there's going to be wall-to-wall coverage.
Yes.
I think ABC is sending over everyone that's ever worked for ABC.
Yes.
Out there. What if I told you that two very, very, very special people will be covering the royal wedding? And by special, I mean Cord Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan.
Oh, wait, hold on now.
Yes?
Now if I watch them, am I watching the royal wedding?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
All right.
You may remember Cord and Tish from their Amazon Prime coverage of the Rose Bowl parade.
Bitchin'.
That people seem to get really upset over because they didn't realize it was Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon.
Right.
Playing complete whack job news people. Like every little stereotype you have about news people covering a parade, they did it times a million.
Love it.
And it was one of the funniest things I have ever seen. But now the fun couple will be covering, that's in quotes, the wedding between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle live on HBO. So HBO, they're allowed to do whatever
that's
they want.
Awesome.
So it's the royal wedding live with Cord and Tish. It's going to air on HBO on Saturday, May 19th, the wedding day, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern, which is 4:30 a.m. our time, which is when the wedding starts. However, Kevin, rebroadcast later that night at 9:45 p.m. Eastern.
There you go.
So
now, if I watch that, am I watching the royal wedding?
You are.
Because I feel like I'm watching Will Ferrell.
You are.
Okay.
But it's just kind of wedding adjacent, and
okay.
I think that's more for you.
I may watch that.
I'm saying.
That I may watch that.
Okay.
That was Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
Hey,
you.
Oh, how dare you.
Let it end, man.
I'm sorry. I forgot about the FU part. I'd like to make a request for a future royal wedding update, Allie.
Sure.
We always hear about how in Britain and other countries around the world that aren't the United States, you can bet on so many more things than you can here. I'm
like
wondering.
Prop bets?
Yeah. I'm wondering if there are any prop bets for the royal wedding, like, you know, the flower girl falling down or whatever it is that comes up. I'm just wondering.
Do you think that'll be one? It's a great example.
The flower girl falling down.
Well, I was just thinking
you can
of
bet
things,
on that.
Things that could happen at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somebody drops the ring or mm-hmm. somebody doesn't show up. I don't know. Whatever
right.
it is.
Pack I'm just rabbit dogs run right through the church.
Exactly.
Something like that.
See, now that would be long odds on that, but somebody could make some real money. But I'm just saying, if you can find that, I think that would be very interesting as well.
Do some research for us.
I will.
Yeah, because that would be so great.
You know that's what I'm into.
Right.
Absolutely. Listen,
King of Mexico reminds me that I'm going to be in Vegas for EDC, so I'm probably not going to. I'll tape it.
Oh, no.
But I probably won't catch it.
Actually,
I'll be up.
Well,
oddly enough.
You'll be up. You could see the actual broadcast, but
yeah.
6:45 is when the rebroadcast is. You'll be pre-gaming, ready to go.
I mean, I'm not positive that I'll be able to catch it, but I will record it.
All right. I think it's very important
all right.
for you to watch
I know
that.
You do.
By the way, in case you don't remember who Cord and Tish are, here's just a little description of Cord Hosenbeck. He's a frequent television and radio host dedicated to physical and mental wellness. He's authored more than 30 books on subjects ranging from diet to dressing for success. And Tish Cadigan is supposedly a former Miss Arizona. She's written books on relationship, codependency, marriage, and wellness. She's also known for her 2-episode stint as assistant DA Keller on Law, L.A. Law. Yeah.
Law, L.A. Law?
Nope, just okay. added the law at okay. the beginning. Regardless, you gotta watch those two.
Bitchin'.
I can't wait for that. Remember how we forgot to watch Dancing with the Stars athletes?
Yeah.
A lot of other people did.
But we wanted to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And I think maybe we can the next day, just when it's online, because I don't know if we want to really sit for that whole
time. I mean, it is a long time.
Yeah. Yes. But the premiere was down 20% in total audience and 30% in the desirable 25 to 54 age group from last fall's opener. However, still pulled in 8.5 million total viewers.
Which is good these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can see how there are a lot of people who just don't care about athletes. It doesn't have the same star appeal as actors, for instance, and singers.
Yeah, I just completely forgot it was on.
Same.
Right.
Which is
But I've also never watched it.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing that's on my radar.
It's not circled.
Except for Psycho Mike when he was on.
Yeah, exactly.
And Corolla, too.
And Corolla, yeah.
Thank you. That was my impression.
That's a great impression.
Thank you so much. Some birthdays for you. Singer Lily Allen, actress Ellie Kemper, actor Robert Buckley, who was on and is still on iZombie, actress Christine Baranski, actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and former soccer player, also known as guy that Kevin just hangs out with now randomly. It's bizarre. They are besties.
I'm not sure we're besties.
David Beckham. And that's what's happened.
Is Dave Duchovny another one of those guys that makes you feel bad about yourself, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last time we had him on, it was to promote his new album. Mm-hmm. The time before that we had him on, it was to promote his TV show.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming on again in about 10 minutes promoting his new book.
Yeah.
So the guy has a lot going on.
Yeah.
And he seems to be pretty good at all of it.
He sure does.
So Mr. Duchovny back on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, is it royal wedding time again?
You know how you always ask, what would you do if you won the lottery?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, how would you spend your money?
Yeah.
Well, there's a woman in England who won £1.2 million on the lottery in 2008. And she has now spent a ton of that money on a doghouse that looks like the castle, the royal castle.
Windsor Castle?
Windsor Castle.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
That's sad.
Am I right?
Yes.
When you say a lot, how much did she spend on the doghouse?
I'm not positive exactly. Let me just play the news report, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it seems like everyone is getting in the royal wedding spirit, including pets. Royal wedding enthusiasts Susan and Michael Crossland have spent £5,000 building a kennel styled on Windsor Castle.
There you go, £5,000.
Which is around $7,000, I think.
Yes.
On a doghouse.
Yes.
So her dog can watch the royal wedding in style.
Yes.
Okay.
For their beloved pet dog, Archie. That's nearly $7,000 in American dollars. The 10-year-old Lhasa Apso is the owner of the mini castle.
I mean, will the dog even make it?
I'd just like to say that the dog is not the owner of the castle.
Right.
I would like to say that the woman is.
The dog doesn't have a deed?
No.
Okay.
No, the dog did not purchase this house. Mm-hmm. The crazy owner made it for her.
Okay.
By the way, if you're crazy about the royal wedding, you can call if you'd like, 1-800-520-1067, because honestly, I don't get it at all. If you live here, I don't get it at all.
I love that they called them royal wedding enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts, yes.
I support that, by the way.
Of course you do.
Yes, we need royal wedding enthusiasts to call us because we need to start lining up our correspondents.
Take it easy.
Certainly we're going to have team coverage every day leading up
certainly
to the royal wedding,
not.
Right? So maybe some of the people that call that are excited about the wedding that already have it in their calendar, maybe they can be some of our correspondents and we can check in with them throughout the week.
All right, here's more of the report.
In an interview with the BBC, the lottery winning couple said they just wanted to do something for Archie and include him in their celebrations.
Oh,
I love that.
I love that. You want to hear Susan? You want to hear her?
Yeah. Sure. I love royal weddings. I love the royals. And I just thought maybe it might be a bit quirky to have something nice for Archie. So I had him a Windsor Castle made. Just thought it'd be quite quirky for him. And he absolutely loves it. It's made of wood, and then inside it's got all red velvet, but it's all being hand-painted, so it makes it all quite extra.
Can I just say, he loves it, is a guess,
uh-huh.
Right? Are we right about that? I mean, that's a guess.
I mean, you can tell whether your dog enjoys his doghouse or not, but I'll tell you what we do know is he doesn't care about the royal
Correct.
Wedding. We do know that.
Correct.
If this whole thing is a setup for him to have a place to watch the royal wedding, that is misspent money.
On the royal wedding day, he's going to have his tuxedo on and his little top hat.
Oh, Archie, I'm so sorry.
Poor Archie.
Archie, you've got to find a hole in that fence, bud.
Oh, Archie.
He's going to be wearing a top hat. Come on.
Tuxedo.
Don't do that to Archie.
On the royal wedding day, he's going to have his tuxedo on and his little top hat. I'm sure he'll be tottering about in his castle.
Sure.
I wish I'd have had an invite to the royal wedding, but obviously.
I'm crazy.
No, I'll be watching it on TV.
Yeah.
They should not give everyone their lottery winnings.
They should perhaps put her down. Am I right?
Well, no, I think that's
okay. That's too far. Pull back a little from that.
A little bit.
Okay. But what about Archie? Do him a favor?
No. No, that's not the answer.
I'm just saying. You won't have to wear a top hat. Anyone?
All right, raise your hand if you've got a master's degree in English literature from Yale University. Let's see them. Everybody put them up. Just you, Duchovny?
Yeah, my hand's up.
You're unbelievable. We were just talking about this. The last time we had you on was when your new album came out. The time before that we had you on was to talk about your big TV show. And now here you are with another potential New York Times bestselling novel. How do you do it all, Dave? You have 24 hours a day the same as everybody else. What's the secret, son?
It's annoying.
It is annoying.
It is.
Agreed.
It's very annoying.
I don't know. I feel like I waste a lot of time. I feel like I do nothing but procrastinate and waste time.
So you do all that and waste time.
Yeah.
That's even more annoying.
Yeah, we had
quiet about that.
We had Jake Tapper on the show this week, and he has a book out that just came out last week, and he said and I was curious about this. He said he's a guy who just steals 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there. If he's got a little bit of downtime, whether he's in the studio or in the green room, wherever.
You can't.
That's what I was wondering. Are you a guy who can get away with that, or do you have to just sit down and dedicate your day to writing a book?
Well, with the writing, I got to be dedicated, and I got to have some months ahead of me that I'm going to wake up at 4:35 and sit my ass down till noon, and that's how I can get that done. With music is great because I can just sit and strum and I can maybe come up with a song or maybe not, and it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can write, you know, two songs in a week, and sometimes I won't write a song for a few months. So that just kind of floats on the top of my life. But and with acting, obviously, I'm on somebody else's schedule. You know, they're going to tell me when and where to be, and
right.
then they're going to, you know, put gel in my hair and just put me on a mark, and I just talk like a puppet.
The new book is called Miss Subways. Miss Subways is the book. It's your third. And I know that you have only gotten good reviews for all your books, but they are raves for this new one. Are you just over the moon?
Yeah, I feel, you know, I like don't trust it. I always feel like I'm being set up. I feel like a Wile E. Coyote in my life. You know, even as an actor, as anything, I'm like, okay, you're saying nice things. Where's your dynamite from Acme coming? Yeah.
Tell the Kevin B. listeners, Dave, what Miss Subways is, because it was a real thing.
Yeah, it was. It's based on an Irish mythological story about King Cúchulainn and his wife Ymir. Ymir is really the heroine of my novel. And a demon comes to Ymir and says, basically, you know, your husband's about to die, and you can save him. But in order to save him, you have to renounce your love for him. And so when he wakes up tomorrow morning, he won't know you. And that's kind of the love story at the heart of it, and or that wager. And then surrounding it is kind of this notion of America as a country of immigrants, where all these peoples from all these different countries came to the melting pot of America and assimilated. What happened to their local gods and their local customs that they brought over with them? So my idea is that they're still here in the country. They're just kind of unemployed, bored, and angry and pissed off that they're no longer being worshipped. So they're effing with people.
Now, Miss Subways used to be a thing, right?
Miss Subways was a thing, yeah. When I was growing up, I grew up in New York, and I took the subway to school every day. And there was this competition / pageant. But there was never a pageant. It was just they put up these billboards for certain contestants for Miss Subways. And the only, I think the only criteria for to enter into the pageant was that you had to ride the subway.
Oh, my God, I could be the subway.
Right? That's a low bar.
Oh, I could have been the subway.
And they were just, it was just an advertisement for mass transit?
No, I think there was somebody underwriting it. You know, I think there might have been an advertising thing along with it. But, certainly it was to bring kind of a glamour to ride in the subway, which Lord knows it needs, right? So I just remember it because it was like, it was all advertisements, and then you'd kind of see a pretty girl's face. And, as a kid, it was,
sure.
I would see that.
Now, do you worry, Dave, and this is a sincere question, do you worry because you are smarter than the rest of us, and because you are smarter than the rest of us and you have such a deep understanding and a longtime love of literature, that your references are going to go right over our heads when we read a book like this?
I'm not worried about it. I thought about this. Not in the terms that you're laying it out, but I thought about it in that I feel like I'm almost like an archaeologist, not only with the literature, but also with the time and the place that I grew up with. And when I write about New York in the 70s, which I've done a couple times in the movie House of D and in Bucky Effing Dent, I'm really like, I'm saving it. I'm saving it so that people know what it was like, so that people remember. And in a way, I feel like I do that with literature, some literature, and that, the great books, the great ideas, the great passages that have affected me, that stay with me, that help me be human, that help me in my life. I'm kind of just pulling them out and saying, these are still here. I don't want these to be lost.
Interesting.
Where can I buy Miss Subways for Dummies?
it's not that hard. It's really not. You're making it seem harder than it is.
Well, you're forgetting who you're talking to, Dave. Come on. The book is available at all book retailers, by the way. It just came out yesterday. And check this out. Mr. Duchovny is going to be back in town this weekend, Friday night, 7 p.m., Barnes & Noble at the Grove. This is a wristband event.
Yeah, at the Grove.
Yeah, at the Grove, which is a great store. So you show up starting at 9 a.m. to buy the book, and you get a wristband, and then that gives you a place in line to come back and meet Dave in person and get your book signed on Friday night. Do you run into a bunch of crazy fans when you show up at one of your book signings, Dave?
They're not so crazy. I have to say, in all sincerity, it's quite moving that I don't have much time. It's basically the amount of time that it takes to sign a book, maybe 10, 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. But in that short communication, a lot of people will make clear to me, that my work or something that I've done has meant something to them. And, as much as we sometimes can be flippant about that, it's quite nice for both of us, that they get to tell me that. And it's obviously it's nice for me to hear that. I always feel like I'm completely disappointing because there's really nothing I can do in return to say, that means a lot. But it does.
All right, we need to go. I know you have other interviews to do. I just wanted to ask one X-Files question. Chris Carter says it's going to go on even though Jillian's not in it. What do you know?
I don't know anything, but Chris Carter will be moderating my book thing at the Grove.
Oh, on Friday. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, Kevin, you can show up and ask him.
Dave, you should ask him.
People can ask him. I'm tired of answering that question.
This Subways is the book. It's available everywhere. Dave, we love you. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. Your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the third row on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Keep listening for that.
First, though, we're going to try to answer the question, what's up with Florida, coming up right after 7 a.m. Allie McKay, what's happening with you?
I never realized how much Pete Rose and Muggs had in common.
Pete Rose and Muggs?
Yes. Not just hits out there on the baseball field, but...
Physique.
Sure. I didn't know how much Pete Rose owed to the IRS.
Oh.
But, he owes over $1 million to the IRS. And
they're cool with that, though,
they're
right?
They're cool with it, okay. Yeah. He claims he earns only a paltry $54,000 a month, so I'm sure it's pretty hard to pay that off over time. But the reason this is in the news is because he was spotted and photographed cruising around in his Rolls Royce, which features his custom Hit King license plate, and it costs about $300,000, that car. So I feel like maybe you could pay that off if you really set your mind to it a little bit. Maybe? Who's with
budgeting?
A little budgeting.
Sure.
He's a sad little dude now.
He really is. We're talking about Muggs.
No, I was talking about Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, just kidding. Muggs.
Doesn't he have a, if I remember correctly, he has a table in a mall in Las Vegas, and he has hours, like, during the week where you can show up and get him to sign stuff for you?
Sort of out in front of a sports memorabilia store and just waving people down. Hey, do you want to get an autograph? Yeah, it's sad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's
But he's making $50,000 a month, so it's not that bad.
54.
Yeah.
That's, I could live off that. I think I could do that pretty well. You guys ready for a new late night talk show?
Not really.
Okay. Well, how about one on E?
Who is it?
It's going to be Busy Phillips. You know her from, of course, Cougar Town, Dawson's Creek, Freaks and Geeks.
She is personality plus, I'll tell you that. I think I would enjoy her.
She's a delight. Yeah. The show is going to feature comedic commentary and interviews as well as behind the Instagram stories.
Pretty little face.
She does have a pretty face. She's also very funny and very talented. So I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely. And it didn't take long, but with the capture of the Golden State Killer last week, HBO has already signed up to do a docuseries based on Michelle McNamara's book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer. And I cannot wait.
Of course.
Hurry up.
It's all about you.
Oh, what?
It's all about you. You love it.
Oh, like what?
You love stories of murder.
I do. Especially this one. Mm-hmm. It's so good. You guys know how they finally caught him, right?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Some kind of DNA thing?
Yeah, like 24andMe, 23andMe, whatever. Those type of things. They matched it up with relatives, and that's insane. Remember when Bill Burr warned us against spitting into a tube and sending it off?
He did,
like, what are we doing? They're basically building your robot overlords through your DNA. But my God, that caught the Golden State Killer.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's just very exciting stuff, you guys. Also very exciting, birthdays. Because you were born on this day, and you get to celebrate with cake, possibly a balloon. Christine Baranski, Robert Buckley, Ellie Kemper, Lily Allen, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and David Beckham. And that's what's happening.
Highlights of Kanye West with Charlamagne Tha God, coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's an hour 45.
Oof. That's a lot of Kanye.
He sometimes thinks too long before answering.
I see. It's a slow conversation that you've sped up for us.
That was very fast, what I just did.
You're saving us a lot of time.
Correct.
The recap coming up.
I'm saving you about a half hour.
Also, we're going to talk to the genius behind the 0.5K race that's going on in Texas this weekend. Great idea. We need to start that here, too, by the way.
Agreed.
That's all on the way. First, though, hey, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida!
What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Please stop me if you've heard any of these stories before. I've been gone for a while, so if you covered it, just let me know and I'll move on.
If we covered it, that means we loved it and tell it again.
There's so much Florida going on. Kevin, I'm particularly interested to get your take on this story. This is a Florida father who is demanding answers after he found what he thought was an inappropriate question in his daughter's homework assignment for her anatomy class. His daughter is in the 11th grade at Westside High School in Jacksonville. The father was appalled by the question. It was about a baby's blood type. It used the word baby daddy and dealt with a woman who slept with her ex-boyfriend and his best friend. Here's the question, in part. Ursula was devastated when her boyfriend broke up with her after having sex. To get revenge, she had sex with his best friend the next day. But the question was about a blood type and continued, if her baby daddy is her ex-boyfriend, what could her baby's possible blood type not be? I see what they were going for.
Sure.
But the dad
it seems
was,
ill-advised.
The dad was like, you know, maybe that's for soap operas or reality TV. I mean, it's not really the type of thing I want to put out there in front of my daughter who's in 11th grade.
You could ask the exact same question in a different way.
About her husband.
Right.
And then what? Yeah, easy.
Yeah. So you
that was a miscalculation.
You guys agree it was an inappropriate
sure.
question.
Yeah.
And the school district did too. They did issue a policy saying it was not part of the lesson plan. And they're thankful to the parent who contacted the school with his concerns. So they're changing that. Yeah, I would be very surprised by seeing that on my 11th grader as well. Here's another one in high school. This is a teenager in Sarasota. You might have seen this. It made the national news. His promposal. Did you guys talk about his promposal that went viral?
Was it with his dad?
No.
Okay.
This is an 18-year-old senior at Riverview High School named Noah Crowley, and he put up a sign that said...
Sorry, what is Kevin's promposal that he asked his dad?
No. It was a different story. Go ahead, Pete. Go ahead.
He held up a sign that said, "If I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you for prom."
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Now, he's 18, you guys.
Yeah.
Isn't he well old enough to realize how deaf that statement is?
It sounds racist.
It is racist.
He knew how deaf it was, and
that's why he did it. Trying to be edgy? Funny?
Maybe he's just a racist.
It's very possible it is Florida. He did, once he saw the feedback on his social media, he did post, "I want to sincerely apologize if I offended anyone with the picture going around. That was not my intention. It was a complete joke and it went too far, but after reading the text and the Snapchat, I see how I have offended people and I am truly sorry." The family also issued a statement and said that their son will not be attending the prom in any way. So, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, ask your dad, like Kevin's story.
No. My story is the guy asking the girl and the girl's dad holding up a sign on the beach saying, "Say
right.
no."
Oh, no, that was for a wedding. That was them
wedding.
Getting married.
Oh, man.
That's funny. I'm sorry I missed that.
Love that.
Here is Kevin Raymond Curtis from Augusta, Florida. He is in the news. He was returning home after a 20-hour shift the other night, and he got into a very serious car accident. In fact, the airbag went off, and he got a chunk of airbag in his mouth that caused it to be difficult for him to breathe. Now, try to follow all this. The police show up, and they believe, because of the way he's acting, that he might be high on something.
Okay.
In reality, he's lightheaded and having trouble breathing as a result of the accident and the airbag. The police officer asks him to pull out his driver's license and his registration out of the glove compartment. As he does that, he passes out.
Oh.
The police officers are putting two and two together. They see the way this guy is acting, and then they also see in the glove compartment a bag full of a white sandy material, and they think, this guy's overdosing right now. So they give him that drug. What is it called? Narcan. They put that Narcan in him to try to bring him back, and it does. Well, it turns out the guy wasn't on any drugs at all. It was a result of the airbag that made him faint because he was having trouble breathing. The police officers didn't know that. And the white sandy material in the baggie in his glove compartment was his father.
Oh, good God.
The cremated remains, the ashes of his late father.
Why am I the only one applauding?
Why was he snorting his dad?
He wasn't snorting his dad. He wasn't. They just assumed.
They forced him to.
They assumed it was heroin.
They gave it to him and said, snort this.
It was his dad. Now, you may be asking, as I did, why is Mr. Curtis driving around with his father in the glove compartment of his car? Even, especially since his dad had been dead for 5 years.
What?
It
48 grams, by the way, of dad in the glove compartment. It turns out that he just 2 weeks ago had gotten the ashes from his sister because he was tired of her leaving him in a baggie and was hanging on to him while he was waiting for the urn that he ordered to arrive. No telling why he left it in the glove compartment instead of taking it to the house. But it was all just a big misunderstanding. He wasn't on drugs. He wasn't responsible for the accident. Someone had hit him. But dad was held as evidence and was in jail for 48 hours. Mr. Curtis said, "It's the only time my dad's ever been in jail. It took me forever to get him out.
I'm here to claim my dad, please."
What a crazy...
I was my dad's phone call.
what a crazy series of circumstances, though, right?
That's nuts. That story has everything.
It really does.
A Florida man ended up in jail after his dashboard camera showed police more than he intended. 25-year-old Xavier Moran was involved in a crash on April 5th. He told a sheriff's deputy he had been cut off by another driver, and he could prove it with his dashboard camera. He signed a consent waiver to search the camera.
Why do some people tune out?
I don't know how that's appropriate. When the Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy reviewed the footage, they saw Mr. Rand burglarizing a beauty store. On video, they showed him taking a baseball bat from the trunk and smashing out the glass door of the store, going in and stealing stuff from the store. So this dude voluntarily signed over his dashboard camera.
Yeah, look at it. Look at everything. Go ahead. Review it.
Did he just forget that he was shown on there committing a burglary?
He's very busy.
Apparently so. So that's not exactly what he planned. And one more. Here's a Florida man arrested early Thursday on a drunk driving charge. He was weaving on a Port St. Lucie highway around 3 a.m. The cop pulled the driver over. It turned out that he was not wearing pants, but he was very, very drunk. And okay. He was wearing underwear only. And the underwear had the word breathalyzer on them. And then...
And then an arrow.
Oh. And then a portion near his genitals, it said, blow here.
Oh,
which
God.
Maybe isn't the only thing you should be wearing when you get pulled over
but
for drug driving.
But you should be wearing it. This shouldn't be the only thing.
What is up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice.
All right, that was one of two Kanye West interviews that went down yesterday at TMZ.com. Kevin, you had the homework assignment, short straw, to watch the first interview of the day, which was with Charlamagne the God.
He's a
New
DJ.
York radio personality.
Yeah, he's
right.
A DJ, and he also does some TV, yeah.
And where do they? Where was this interview taking place?
I'm not positive, but it ended up on his ranch. On Kanye's ranch, and who knows where. He bought like 300 acres, and he's going to develop it. So I don't know. But it was an hour 45. And without the pauses from Kanye, it was 30 minutes. So I sped this up. I didn't change the meaning or anything, but I sped it up so that we could at least listen to part of it.
And get it done before the end of today's show.
Correct. So Charlamagne starts off by asking him how he's doing.
I've seen a lot of pictures of you lately out and about. You know, so the first question is, how are you?
I'm feeling good.
Because the last time I think people heard about you in the news was Kanye West was having a mental breakdown. So mentally, where are you?
I think I'm in a stronger place than I ever was.
What do you think caused the mental breakdown?
Fear, stress, control, manipulation, like being a pawn in a chess piece of life. This is the concept of competition. I had done a fashion show, and I was 45 minutes late. And soon as I was 45 minutes late, I felt it was the fashion community getting the right to say without saying it.
So they were upset because he was 45 minutes late.
Yeah, because people have schedules.
Right, but he interpreted that as them using the N-word because he's black.
Okay.
That was his interpretation of him being 45 minutes late.
Okay.
So he is on medication. He's not taking therapy. They talk about Jay-Z a lot. Jay-Z says that he gave him $20 million. And Kanye says, that's not exactly right. Live Nation did, but Jay-Z vouched for him. He did co-sign for it. And so maybe that's where some of the confusion came in. And then he talks about him and Jay-Z and their relationship now.
You know, where you and Jay at now?
We good. You know, we texting each other. It's positive energy.
Jay said you went too far talking about his family. Do you feel that? You feel like you went too far?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If we're family, if we're brothers, you know, I was hurt about them not coming to the wedding. If it's family, you're not going to miss a wedding.
That's interesting about the wedding. Did they not come? Because, you know, in the press it was Beyonce has a problem with Kim. Or, you know, they don't like all the Kardashian reality show type thing. Or maybe now in hindsight, maybe it was because they had their own issues that they was trying to work out. What do you think it was?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm past it. But at the time, I was hurt about it.
All right. So that's what happened with that.
Are you past it?
Are you past it is a good question. Mm-hmm. Then he talks about going to the hospital with a mental breakdown, or he calls it a mental breakthrough, but it was actually a mental breakdown. And he actually learned something, I think, positive out of the experience.
One of the things that was incredible when I, you know, got out of the hospital was I had lost my confidence.
Kanye West with no confidence. That's like Michael Jordan with no jumping.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I never had the empathy for people who lacked confidence. I had so much of it, I didn't know what it was like to be without it.
So we learned that.
Okay. How about let's go back to that?
Go back to
that
a little bit?
A little bit.
Now he's talking about Obama and Trump, and there was a lot of this, and it was sort of like intertwining. He would talk about Obama for a while, then he would talk about Trump for a while, then he would talk about Obama for a while. But one of the things that happened was Obama invited Jay-Z and Chance the Rapper to the White House, but not Kanye. And then at some point, Obama called him, what did he say? He was in...
Called him a jackass.
A jackass.
After the Taylor Swift incident.
Right.
When I came out and expressed what I said, when everybody's head exploded, like... My yay. George Bush don't care about black people. Cannot in any way. This dude has to like diss Trump at all point, at all costs, everything about. And see, Obama came to me before he ran for office. And he met with me and my mother to let me know he was going to run for office. Because I am his favorite artist of all time. Because I am the greatest artist of all time.
Oh, remember those days in the hospital when you got out?
Oh, man.
It only makes sense. But you know I'm your favorite, but I'm not safe. But that's why you love me.
He's talking about he's not safe for Obama to align himself with.
Yeah, you hit your wagon to Kanye, you don't know how quickly he's going to take it off the rails.
Right.
So just tell me you love me. That's all, and tell the world you love me. Don't tell the world I'm a jackass. I'm fighting hard enough.
Just tell the world that you love me. Let's get this over with because you do love me.
Because I'm the greatest artist of all time.
So then they start talking about Donald Trump and his support of Donald Trump.
What about when you see, like, because, you know, it's people that's watching this right now and they're like, yo, you know, Donald Trump is getting our family deported. And, you know, for, like, especially you right now, you got this whole economic empowerment thing going on. But you got a guy like him who's clearly trying to marginalize and oppress people. People that look like you. He don't want to see people like you come up. Can you still love a person like that?
I don't have all the answers that a celebrity's supposed to have, but I could tell you, when he was running, it's like I felt something. The fact that he won, it's like it proved that anything is possible in America, that Donald Trump could be president of America. I'm not talking about, you know, what he's done since he's been in office,
but
the fact that he was able to do it, like, remember I said I was going to run for president? Yeah. I had people that was close to me, friends of mine, like, making jokes, making memes, talking shit, and it's like, oh, that was proven. That could have happened. You know, I hit the glass ceiling. You ever seen a bird fly into a window?
Hell yeah.
They don't know it's glass. That was me. When I hit the hospital, that was a bird flying into the window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could have, you know, not made it out of it.
Are you scared of that happening again?
Nah, I'm happy it happened.
So they put you on medication?
Yeah.
Are you still on any now? Or?
Oh, most definitely.
Does the medication help?
It's an imperfect solution. Just calm me down. This is like, once the kryptonite is gone, I got the confidence, everything is possible. Building, acres, raps, stadium tours, designs, companies, ideas to ignite the next generations. Like, everything is possible, you know? And I'm just a vessel, and that's my job in the universe. As a servant to the world, I have to be me.
As a servant to the world, he has to be him.
Kanye loves Kanye, man.
I just saved you an hour and 45 minutes.
Thank you for that.
And I'd like to play you something from The Life of Pablo.
I miss the old Kanye. Straight from the gold, Kanye. Chop up the soul, Kanye. Set on his goals, Kanye. I hate the new Kanye. The bad mood, Kanye. The always rude Kanye. Spazzing the news, Kanye. And I love you like Kanye loves Kanye.
Tickets in the third row for Blink 182 and Panic at the Disco and Rise Against and Mike Shinoda and the Dirty Heads and all the rest. The 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up a week from Saturday at StubHub Center. We've got two chances for you to win those tickets in the third row coming up between now and the end of the show. First, though, Kevin, what time's your flight leave on Friday to head out to Texas?
Right? This is the best idea ever. We always talk about charity events. We have people come on and push charity events. You know, I'm involved with the charity. The station does a lot of charities. This might be the smartest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we've been talking about it all week long. Finally, we have the genius behind the 0.5K running event for the rest of us in Bernie, Texas. Jay Milton joins us on the program. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Good morning, everybody.
Well, thank you for joining us. First of all, I've been all over Texas, every corner of that state, but I don't know that I've ever encountered Bernie. Where are you in the state?
Bernie is about 20 minutes northwest of San Antonio.
Okay, and how big a town is it?
About 10,000 or so. We were settled by German immigrants back in the 1800s, and that's why we have that unique sounding name. And small little town, very picturesque, with a cool little downtown, and that's kind of where we're holding the quote-unquote race.
How did you come up with the quote-unquote race?
Well, actually, like all good ideas, it was stolen. I have some friends that live in outside of Denver, and a few years ago, somehow, I can't remember exactly, but they told me that this little pub out there was holding a 0.5K, and, you know, I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. And so we, just a few days ago, or a few months ago, I should say, we was sitting around with some friends, and we're talking about trying to raise some money, and I was like, you know, I heard this idea a few years ago, and so we picked up on it and just ran with it.
Now, is Blessings in a Backpack, is that your charity, Jay, or just one that you've assigned for the money?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's actually a national organization. They've got chapters all over the country, and what they do is they put food in kids' backpacks on Friday afternoon, very discreetly, like when the kids are at lunch or maybe they're at recess. They very discreetly put food in the kids' backpacks, so they've got food to eat over the weekend. These are kids that are food insecure, which means that they're getting, you know, free breakfast and lunches at school, but they may not have anything to eat over the weekend.
Oh, my gosh. What a great charity. That's beautiful. All right.
Yeah,
so you
what's cool – sorry to interrupt you. What's cool about it is that it's a small charity, and it's 100% volunteer run here in Bernie, at least. They don't have any paid staff. They have no overhead whatsoever, and their budget is very small. So the money that we're raising, 100% of that money is going to go to feeding kids, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
And I would imagine as a result of the publicity that you've gotten worldwide on this, people from far beyond the city limits are going to be contributing to this charity, which is amazing, Jay.
Yeah, it really is almost, you know, literally unbelievable how much attention and support the race has gotten. You know, after it kind of went national late last week, we've actually sold T-shirts to people from Hong Kong and Australia and Germany and Spain and Canada. And, you know, it just kind of goes to show you that there are underachievers all over the world that really identify with hating to run.
Now, the T-shirt does say on it that they participated, though.
It doesn't actually say that that they participated. However, they're going to get a medal as part of what. So what we did was the race actually sold out before we got all of this national attention. So we had to scramble real fast to try to figure out how could we keep the train rolling here? How could we continue to raise money? So we created what we call the Procrastinators Prize Pack, which is for $25, people can get the T-shirt, the participation medal, and then the super pretentious Euro sticker that says 0.05K on it. We've all seen those, right?
Sure. The marathons. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we created that, and that's what the people are, you know, are paying for and sending. So it's exactly the same merchandise that, you know, that the actual participants are getting. So you can lie about it and tell everybody that you flew to Bernie and you participated in the race, and we will keep it your secret safe.
Sure.
So this race, it's a whopping, 546 yards? And you get a beer before, a beer after. But tell me about how, if like halfway through, you need to carb load, right?
Yeah, that was a real concern, right?
Right.
Like, you know, there's for underachievers like ourselves, the folks that are putting together the race, we're like, yeah, that's a long way. And so we started brainstorming, you know, what can we do to make sure that people can actually finish this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So we put together a donut and coffee station that's halfway down the path. And so basically everybody's going to get a little donut hole and a little shot of coffee to kind of keep them going.
At about 260 yards.
A smoking station there, too, for those that need to light up to, you know, reinflate the lungs.
Oh, that's so fantastic. If only you had a bagpipist to add to the mix.
Well, strangely enough, we do.
What?
One of our One of our buddies plays the bagpipes, and so he's gonna bagpipe the runners playing "Amazing Grace" as they get started. Which we're not quite sure if that's just gonna depress everybody or uplift everybody or what that's gonna do, but it's gonna be funny if nothing else.
You also had finish line photos, which I find quite funny.
Yeah, it's just been wonderful. All of the connections, this is a small town, so lots of people have gotten on board to help out with the event. And so there are some friends of ours that actually run an organization called the Hill Country Thunder Dash. And it's an adventure race, a real race, a no kidding race. So they've got the whole deal. I mean, they've got the trust set up with the finish line and the timing system and all of that. So we're setting that all up and really letting people take advantage of the faux glory, if you will.
Jay, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you also the 3-time Kendall County Fair award-winning chocolate chip cookie chef?
Oh, no way. How did that come to be?
All right.
Awesome.
So, yes?
Well, yes. But
you got a celebrity on the line, you guys.
Wow. I mean, lead with that.
Right?
I'm a little embarrassed. I really didn't expect that to come up.
You contain multitudes, Jay.
You're layered. It's who you are. Embrace it.
I need to be clear with everybody. I'm a 3-time Kendall County Chocolate Chip Cookie Award winner, but I've never finished first.
Oh.
I feel like the system has been rigged against me, and sure. I'm already working with friends to figure out how I can rig it back this year.
I like it. I'll tell you what you are, Jay, is you're a goddamn American hero. That's what you are. You are doing great work, making chocolate chips and raising all this money for charity with an awesome event this Saturday in Burney, Texas. Again, we'll post the details and the links on all the Kevin and Bean social media. Have a great time this weekend, and thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Thanks so much for having us, guys.
Thank you, Jay. 106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
5 minutes, you guys. 5 minutes. And we'll tell you how you can win your tickets in the third row for the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast. In fact, we'll give them to you. First, though, Allie's got what's happening for Wednesday.
What's happening is this Friday, it is K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle. Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You can play poker with Beer Mug, Kevin, Dave. All right.
It's a fun time. It's a really fun night.
It is a fun night. How about, though, if you are caller 21 right now, because winner must be 21 to actually play, you're going to get a spot to play poker at Dave's table. That is this Friday, again, at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Plus, you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200.
There's a tip on Dave. He doesn't really care whether he plays well or not.
Okay.
So you'll be able to take his money.
You want to sit at that table. All right. Caller 21. At 1-800-520-1067. And if you want more information, just go to thebike.com. Poker and blackjack starts at 9 p.m.
Oh, girls, welcome as well.
It says K-Rock's Guys Night Out.
I understand that, but I'm just saying girls are welcome.
I feel like it would say that in the title.
It's both guys and girls.
No, K-Rock.
I'm telling you, it's guys. I've been there every time. It's guys and girls.
Sounds like you guys are going to have to agree to disagree.
I guess.
Agree to disagree. All right, good times, you guys. Hey, Arrested Development. It's right. Returning to Netflix this Friday, May 4th. But hold on. That's not the new season. Instead, series creator Mitch Hurwitz announced through the show's Twitter page that the fourth season will be remixed. So they're remixing the season, changing it up a little bit.
That's
and
weird. I've never heard of that.
No, they're weird.
I love that.
I love it, too.
But the thing why this makes sense and why I haven't seen it before is because, remember, they had so much trouble filming season four because of how busy all of the actors are. So they did a lot of largely standalone episodes where they did one story on Tobias and then the next week they do another story on George Michael or whatever. So I think they're going to cut them all together, cut all those plot lines together like the old show, like the first three seasons.
I love it.
Yeah, and then they're going to interweave them for each episode. So we're going to
feel very comfortable, and I think that's going to be great. I'm going to watch it.
Come on!
It's going to make Bean very comfortable.
Yes, it is.
And he is going to watch it.
That's what I'm looking for at this point in my life, is being comfortable.
I get it. Again, May 4th. That is this Friday.
this
Arrested
Friday.
Development yeah. Remix. Awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. Another thing I like, when people in Hollywood actually stay together. I think it's nice. Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, living proof that some Hollywood couples are built to last. They had their 30th wedding anniversary on Sunday.
Wow.
Celebrity guests like Oprah Winfrey, Kate Hudson, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell came out to toast the happy couple. You really don't hear much about them because they're just, you know, busy being awesome.
Doing their thing, yeah.
Loving each other up.
Allie, you know, I'm like you in that I have strong feelings about celebrities that I like together and want to see stay together.
Yes.
This happened while I was out, so I got to bring it up. I was devastated to see the Tatums break up.
Were you?
I was.
Okay.
Should I not have been?
You're talking about Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Yeah.
I didn't really have many feelings about them because I wasn't a huge, like, Channing fan. Like, Dave mm-hmm. with his Step Up.
Right.
He loves them.
Right,
so,
sure.
But because of that, we did do the phone topic. What celebrity couple would you just be beyond devastated if they broke up?
Oh, that's good.
And I started thinking about it, and I was like, I mean, what kind of loser do you have to be that invested in a couple you don't know?
And then you thought.
And then I thought, oh, God, if Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman broke up, I would lose it.
That would be hurtful.
But that was it. I was like, okay, I'm not that big of a psycho.
Mm.
And then I started thinking, no, wait, what if Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella broke up? I would be devastated. And then I realized, I'm a psycho.
You're that person.
Guy.
Yeah.
I was that way about Will Arnett and Amy Poehler. Just crushed me.
Yes.
Because I like them both so much and I love them together.
That's a super weird reaction, I think.
Is it, though?
Because you don't really know them.
At all.
No, I don't know them at all.
You think you... So what? How can you be that invested if you don't know them?
Look, I know it doesn't make any sense because not anybody can be inside somebody's marriage. And, of course, it's a different scenario. They're just people like the rest of us. But you just... I don't know. It's just nice to have those kind of, you know, love heroes.
And, again, I have put the... He said love heroes, first of all.
Love
Let's
heroes.
Take a second.
Let's take a beat. Yes.
I've put the offer out there to Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman that I would love to be inside their marriage. That's a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. But if you don't follow Megan Mullally on Instagram, you are missing videos of those two that are so, like, fall on the floor funny. And their newest thing is them just saying, I love you to each other in the most ridiculous way. Like, he'll be like, I love you. And then she'll say, thank you for coming tonight. I love you, too. Oh, talking about her shows, by the way.
Oh, okay, good. That's an important part.
Oof, missed that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would be very sad about them. So I understand your Channing Tatum and Tatum Dewan Tatum.
Well, the point of this whole thing was...
Is that Bean has love heroes.
I do have love heroes, but before I hijack your segment, I apologize for that, is that we are all grateful to see Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson so happy after 30 years. That is remarkable these days.
We do love that. And by the way, if you're a Westworld fan, we know it just began the second season, I think only 2 episodes in, but HBO has already renewed it for a 3rd season. Sunday nights, there's too much good stuff.
Yeah, there really is.
Right? You've got Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You've got Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed.
The Walking Dead
The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Homeland when it's on.
You've got
Homeland. You have got...
Billions.
Billions. You've got... The Eve show that I love.
Killing Eve
on BBC. Like, there's too much for Sunday. Can we spread it out a little bit? It's too much goodness.
I mean, you could record it.
That's what DVRs are for.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but then I'm like, okay, then Monday I have Good Girls, and it's like, it's too much for me.
This is a real problem.
It really is.
Sorry to hear that.
Really is.
White people, right?
You know how white people do. I love television.
Right.
Thank you.
Some would say too much.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
Some birthdays for you. Lily Allen, Ellie Kemper, Robert Buckley, Christine Baranski, David Beckham, Dwayne the mother effin' Rock Johnson. And that's what's happening.
If you would like tickets in the 3rd row for the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast, it is a week from Saturday, May 12th at StubHub Center. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game next.
I'm already so looking forward to the War on Drugs at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. I love that band so much. Cold War Kids 2, Rise Against, one of the best. Panic at the Disco, I love them live. I can't wait to see Alice Merton. It's all happening, you guys, 1 week from Saturday at the StubHub Center. We're giving away a pair of tickets right now in the third row with a game that we sometimes call the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Good morning, senior bad hombre announcer man.
Good morning, Kevin E. Freehold. ¿Cómo está ustedes?
Hey, English only, first of all. Second
yeah,
of all.
E too?
Second of all, it's been so long since we played this game, Dave.
See,
I don't even remember how it goes.
Excuse me, senor hombre.
Right?
Senor Hombre, okay. Yeah. All right. Why don't you explain for the listeners and for the callers on hold how this one goes, please?
Well, Freehold, what we're going to do is we're going to play a clip of a K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta putos artist backwards, and they just got to figure it out.
You play a clip of it. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. The best description I've ever heard.
Isn't it you saying the name and then it's reversed, it's backwards?
Yes, okay. But we're going to play the audio of me saying it.
Right.
Kevin.
Okay.
That's how the game works.
Don't tell me.
Okay. All right. I think we got it. So we'll play it for
backwards.
You. All you have to do is tell us what the artist is. So that's the hint is. It's one of the artists that's playing the show. So you guys, if you don't know, just guess. Who's our first contestant, please?
We got Ernesto in Canyon Country.
What's wrong with you? Inez?
Hey, guys.
Hey there. We're going to play it for you twice backwards, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here you go. Here it is once.
Hibs mish.
One more time.
Hibs mish.
Who's that?
You All Nation?
James Bay. Oh, no.
Sorry.
No Rini World's E Fiesta tickets for Ernesto. See?
Yeah. Who else you got, Dave?
We got Nick from Long Beach.
Nick in Long Beach. Hi.
How's it going?
Well, thank you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here's your band.
Cigars Not Roll With.
One more time.
Cigars Not Roll With.
AWOL Nation.
The War on Drugs.
Somebody's going to get it right if people keep saying AWOL Nation.
Eventually. Oh my God.
Maybe.
Es okay. Muy difficult. Es el juego más difícil del mundo.
Not only that, it's the hardest game in the world. Who's up next, senior announcer hombre?
We got Edgar Stoll.
It's just Edgar.
Just Edgar. His name's Edgar.
In Sun Valley. Hi, Edgar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You ready?
Yep.
Here you go. One more time.
Panic at the Disco?
Blink 182. Uh-oh.
This game is not easy.
No, it's not at all.
That's my goofy son.
All right, 0 for 3. King, your Spanish is worse than your
awful.
English. Who's up next?
¿Cómo está? ¿Cómo dice David?
It's David. It's just David, yeah.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, David. Are you ready for your band?
Hi, good morning. I'm ready.
Okay, good luck. Here you go. One more time.
What do you think?
Rise Against?
Yeah!
No.
Rise Against?
No, I'm sorry.
Cold War Kids.
I know Kevin was excited.
Oops.
No, David. Thank you,
Es muy difícil running the game and playing the game.
Guys, we've been doing the hardest game of the world for a long time. Mm-hmm. Have we ever not had a winner?
Are we in sudden death?
I don't know that we're... I don't think we're quite there yet. I don't think we're quite in sudden death, but this is concerning. I know it's hard, but 0 for 4 so far.
Let's go to Felipe in Lake Elsinore.
It's just Philip. Hi, Philip.
Morning.
How have you been doing listening on hold? How do you think your other competitors have done?
As well as I have.
Okay. All right. So this is tough. All right. Good luck.
Snake got the hour.
One more time.
Snake got the hour.
Panic at the Disco.
Rise Against.
That's the last one.
I gave away. I gave it away. I literally gave it away.
Holy crap.
Okay.
Holy crap.
Who's next?
AWOL Nation?
All right, should we just go for sudden death, you guys?
I feel like it's sudden
at this
death.
Point.
Sudden
all right, we'll do all sudden right. death.
Let's see what Amber Lee can do from Chino Hills.
Hey, Amber Lee.
Hi.
Good luck. It's sudden death now, so if you get it right, you win.
Okay.
All right, here you go.
Scare bishop.
One more time.
Scare bishop.
Bishop Briggs.
Yes! Yes!
Bishop Briggs.
That is how it is done. You're going to be seeing Bishop Briggs, AWOL Nation, War on Drugs, Dirty Heads, Rise Against, Panic at the Disco, Blink 182, and all the rest a week from Saturday at the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Rose at StubHub Center. Congratulations. Way to go.
Thank you. You guys have no idea.
Thank you, senior announcer Ombre.
Adios. Now let's vamos a cocinar hot dogs.
A lot of good stuff coming up on the show here this morning, including our chat with Dave Duchovny. His latest book is in stores and online today, called Miss Subways. Love, Dave. Looking forward to that. And if you saw that that smackdown that Kanye West got in the TMZ offices yesterday after he was so foolishly speaking about slavery being a choice, we're going to chat with the man who dropped the bomb on him. Van Lathan, our friend in the newsroom over there, is going to join us at the 9 o'clock hour as well. So all that coming up this morning here on K-Rock.
Right now we're going to talk about stupid things that you did when you were drunk. We got a couple of stories to base this off of, and then a few personal anecdotes perhaps. And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Police in Lancaster County arrested a man who attempted to get into a house that wasn't his, then got into a vehicle that wasn't his, and then, quote, started to bite his arms and pulled on the steering wheel.
Oh.
The incident occurred just before 6 a.m. That's a bad time to still be that drunk. Officers received a call about Luis Murillo Jr., 20. He was told by the homeowner to go away or he would call the police. Then he went to the caller's vehicle. He entered the vehicle, started to bite his own arms, and pulled on the steering wheel. He's been charged with criminal mischief, defiant trespass, disorderly conduct, underage drinking, and public drunkenness.
Look, there wouldn't be a What's Up with Florida segment on this show if people didn't drink and do dumb stuff.
Intoxicated woman comes to prison to pick up intoxicated friend. An intoxicated woman arrived at the Cumberland County Prison to pick up her friend who had been arrested for DUI. The incident occurred on Saturday, April 21st. Officers arrived at the prison and they found Robin, 49, of Boonesboro, Maryland. She was there, and during the officer's investigation, it was determined that Kemp had driven her vehicle to the prison to pick up her friend who had been arrested for a DUI. Kemp was suspected of being, quote, highly intoxicated and placed into custody for her own DUI.
You don't want that.
I don't think you want that at all.
So did the other friend get a chance to pick her up after?
I don't know. Huh. It doesn't continue, but they were both in jail for the exact same thing.
Good question, though, Dave.
Right?
So 1-800-520-1067. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done while drunk? I mean, let's face it. Alcohol does adjust your perceptions of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, everything is the best idea you've ever had.
Yeah. Right.
Everything. Yeah, right. No matter how stupid.
I agreed to go to a Fish concert once.
Really?
When I was hammered. Ooh, did I regret that.
Dave, how about you? I'm sure you've got a few examples for us.
This was a couple of years ago in Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys have heard of that city, but there's a lot of alcohol there. And once Kevin and I were actually walking down the street, and I thought it would be a great idea if I would cross the street to get to the other side, to the casino. Now, I don't know if you know of Las Vegas Boulevard and the traffic that happens there.
It's what, 6 lanes each way?
Pretty busy.
Yeah.
And it never stops.
No.
Right.
Well, I decided it would be a great idea since for some reason I was carrying a fake little security badge.
It was like a toy cop badge.
Yeah.
Oh,
to
no.
Pull out my badge and get in traffic and stop traffic so I could cross the street.
He stopped traffic in both directions by putting his hand
up. Just put my hands up and said, stop.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And he'd show him the little.
No.
Yeah, he would. And he had traffic in both directions stopped.
Wow.
I was like, Dave, keep walking.
Yeah. So I crossed the street and made it safely.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't know if you noticed, and I don't know if there's a correlation to it, but now you can't cross the street in Las Vegas Boulevard because they have...
what a surprise.
It's blocked now. So you have to go over the bridges, and they started building bridges after that. So you're welcome, Las Vegas.
It's probably you.
Yeah.
You not only could have been hit by a car for being so foolish, but you could have been arrested for impersonating an officer.
I would have said security guard, but
you weren't saying that night, though. He was telling everybody, it's okay, I'm a cop.
Let's see. Don't do that. And that's very dumb when you're drunk. So yeah, that was a very dumb thing that I did.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, I have a long list.
You do.
Surprise, surprise. Number one on my list, I remembered that in high school we were drinking and we had a neighbor down the street who was an asshole and he drove a VW bug. So we thought it'd be great to tip it over. So we ran over there. We tipped over that bug. So that's number one. Number two, at an acoustic Christmas, got really drunk. And this homeless person was trying to hit me up for money. I got really upset, tried to fight him on the street on Hollywood Boulevard.
That happened.
I went to a Fishbone show. And I was a little overweight back in the day, and or a lot overweight. And I got really drunk. They invited everybody on stage. And I decided to stage dive off the stage there. Mm-hmm. And the crowd just parts like Moses parting the sea.
Like they should have.
Yeah, exactly. Because a big old overweight guy is there. And I injured my back pretty heavily on there. Got really drunk at Coachella once, and I swore that Swedish House Mafia was going to be playing the main stage, but they were actually playing like the outdoor theater.
Right.
And I was like, "The Weeknd's playing. Why is The Weeknd playing so long?" And I stayed.
You stayed
Weeknd
there the whole time.
The whole time. And I was like, "Man, I'm going to talk to Dave about this. Why didn't Swedish House Mafia come out?" And I got lost in the parking lot for about 2 hours after that. And at a Bad Religion show, I got really, really hammered, and my friends put me in the back seat, like laying across,
right.
My head sticking out the window,
right
in the middle of sunset, like around 2 a.m., where all the cops are kind of directing traffic, everybody on their way out. I'm puking my guts out right in the middle of Sunset Strip.
Oh, yeah.
And all my friends, were you there?
I was there, yeah.
All my friends were worried that they were going to tell them, like, hey, you got to see them, and the cops were just laughing at me. So those are just the ones that I can remember.
Which of our friends peed in the pit? You guys remember? Somebody peed in the pit.
That was very funny.
That would be very dumb.
That would be very dumb, yeah.
When you're drunk. Somebody doesn't like to be identified who's involved in that stripe. All right, let's take one before the break here. Let's make it our man Edgar. I don't know if this is the same Edgar who just tried to play the game a few minutes ago, but he's calling us from Simi Valley. He's on line one. Dumb things you did while you were drunk is the topic this morning. Edgar, what do you have for us, sir?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I had the same guy that called a little while ago. I actually have a pretty good story. So I was around maybe 22 years old, and I had gone to a bar for a friend's birthday. It was like during the week. It was like a Tuesday. And I ended up getting like blackout drunk, and I lost my wallet and my house keys. And then for some, I don't even know how I got home. But I got home, and I tried to open the apartment door. I lived on my own, and it wouldn't open. So I went around to the side, and there used to be a side panel, like window door type of thing.
Right.
And I guess I must have pushed it all the way through, and I broke the glass. So I guess while I was drunk, I tried to grab the glass to break the rest of it off my little slot, and I cut my right hand open, and I bled all over the window like panel. And I guess I didn't make it all the way through, so I went back to the front door. I tried the doorknob, and I guess I must have leaned against the door because I realized that I left a bloody handprint in the morning.
Nice.
Like, on the door and on the door handle, like I left it all bloody. I didn't get in through the door clearly, so I went back to the window. I must have squeezed through, and then I fell asleep on the couch. I don't even remember this. So I fell asleep on the couch, blackout drunk in my underwear. I woke up in the morning. There's a knock on my door. It's like 7 in the morning. I was already late for work, and it's two police officers. And as soon as they see me, they're like, all right, we just need you to take a step back. And like one of them's like reaching. I guess they thought I must have like broken into the house.
Oh, they didn't know it was your place.
They didn't know it was my place. No, the neighbors had called the cops because they saw the bloody handprints all over the door and on the doorknob.
I love it.
And on the windowsill on the side, and they called the cops because they thought somebody had broken into my house and must have assaulted me or something. So they handcuffed me because I had lost my wallet. So no form of identification to let them know that it was me.
Right.
They handcuffed me. They sit me on the couch. They start asking me all these questions. I'm, like, still hazy drunk. I'm asking them questions after, like, where I'm at and what's going on and how I got home. They're like, all right, well, since you can't answer any of our questions, we're going to have to take you to downtown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm about to get arrested in the house. Blood, like, my hand, I'm like, the pain on my hand is finally setting in and, like, the haze is finally wearing off. And I'm like, I have to call my landlord to come and, like, identify me. And they're like, all right, we'll give them a call. They called him for me. He had to drive 3 hours down to the apartment complex to verify my identity. So they had me uncuffed, and I'm like, yo, it's going to take a while. And he finally shows up, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's the one that lives here. Keep in mind, I'm in my, like, my tidy whitey sitting there covered in
sure.
Oh, I left my bathroom sink running, and it flooded the bathroom. So
oh, my God. The story doesn't end.
What the hell?
It doesn't end. Is the story still happening right now, Edgar?
I wrecked that apartment. apartment in one evening, and I ended up getting almost arrested for it in my own house. That's
and, then I, and then I called Kevin and Bean, and I wouldn't get off the phone.
Edgar, I am telling you, we have given you a lot of time, but you have deserved it, my friend.
Agreed.
That was a fantastic well done. Story. All right. Now we're hanging up on you, though. 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Edgar's story is the story to beat. What dumb thing did you do when you were drunk? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
And just ahead of Panic at the Disco, let's talk to Amber from Montebello. We're talking about weird, crazy things you did while you were drunk. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Thank you for holding. What's your story?
So when my husband was at boot camp, I spent all my time at this lingerie bar, and one time I got so very drunk, I then proceeded to make out with all of the bartenders, and they're all okay. Women dressed in lingerie.
Now, you're telling this story way too fast.
Slow it down.
What's a lingerie bar, first of all?
So there's this bar that my friend and I go to. All the bartenders are purely women, and they are all dressed in lingerie.
And the address for that bar is... am I missing the point?
I'm sorry?
I said, am I missing the point?
No.
Okay.
Okay. And you were super drunk. And are you normally not the type of person who makes out with female bartenders?
You know, not when I'm sober, but I've been told that when I'm drunk, I do so quite often.
Okay. Keep right. doing what you're doing. Seriously, got no complaints there. I'm not even sure this qualifies as a dumb thing somebody did while he or she was drunk, are you?
Your call's 1-800-520-1067. That's Panic at the Disco. They are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast a week from Saturday, and they're one of those bands that is every single song is better live than on their CD.
So good.
Agreed. And by the way, that song right there, a great song from the new record, is going to be, it's just going to be magical hearing that on a Saturday night at the Weenie Roast. So you get some tickets in the third row coming up in about 20 minutes here on K-Rock. Right now, we're taking your calls on dumb things you did while you were drunk. From the 909, this text comes in. Same number, by the way, 1-800-520-1067. I was drunk texting with this girl, and I accidentally sent my mother pictures of my junk.
Oh, no.
Keep in mind, she's a full-blown Christian. She called me and said, wrong chick, and then invited me to church. I guess it could have been a lot worse.
She could have texted back, seen it.
Or could have texted back, "Is I don't see anything. What's happening?
Let's go to Travis in Los Angeles. Hi, Travis.
Hey, good morning.
You did something dumb when you were drunk.
Yeah, when I was 20 years old, I was scheduled to deploy to Iraq. So about 2 weeks before I went out, a bunch of buddies of mine had a big party for me for going away. I polished off about a 30-pack, and I decided to pee. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so that's kind of, you know, that's just a pre-party right
there.
That's
a Tuesday.
But I figured it was my patriotic duty to take the American flag from our apartment and walk down the middle of the interstate.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So about a mile down the interstate, I got surrounded by four cop cars, and they proned me out because I'm not a small guy. I'm about 6'4". And, you know, they proned me out, had me put my arms to the side, and ended up getting an underage drinking ticket.
Wow.
I got nothing.
holy crap. Well done.
Does something like that get you in trouble with the military?
You know, I had to tell my commander about it, and he laughed a bit. I just had to pay the ticket before I left, so there was nothing pending with it. And
all right.
By the time that I came back, all the charges had ended up being dismissed, and I ended up going on to a successful law enforcement career.
Well, great story. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it, sir. Speaking of the freeway, let's go to Rover. He's on line 8. He's calling us from Van Nuys. He also ended up on a highway. Hey, Rover.
Hey, guys.
Ended up on a highway seems like the worst possible thing.
Well, not really. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, late night drinking, and it was a traffic stop. You know, the freeway stopped. We were dead stop. And we were like that for like 10 minutes, and my friends were like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if you got out and ran out naked? And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that. And they're like, I got 5 on it. And then everybody else was like, I got 10. So, you know, $30 is enough to cover my drink. So
sure.
Why not? Yeah.
So you got out and ran naked down the 170.
Yeah, about the 170, right where it bottlenecks into the 5.
Very nice.
It was perfect timing. You know, no cops, no nothing. And I was out there for about 5 minutes, got back in the car, and everyone's good.
Entertained everybody else that was sitting there stopped?
Sure, yeah.
You know, this was right before, like, camera phones came out, and there was some that did have cameras, and I was starting to freak out because I started seeing flashes. I'm like, oh, man, what the hell is that?
All right, thank you for the call, sir. How many stories of people being drunk include the phrase, but then someone said I got 5 on it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it seems like a good idea. All right, we got a good batch here. Let's do one more on the freeway. Let's make it Category Hills Line 6, please. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, guys.
So you ran onto the freeway as well when drunk.
Oh, goodness, this story is all sorts of wrong. Yeah, my boyfriend and I were driving down from Santa Barbara. We got into a heated argument. He pulled over to the side of the freeway. I decided to jump out, cross four lines of highway, jump over the fence, found a payphone to make a phone call. Meanwhile, passerbyers saw this happen, called the cops. Cops came to detain me to find out what was going on. At that time, my boyfriend got off the freeway, drove around. I saw him in the corner of my eye. The cops asked if I had been driving, and I said, sure, yes, to protect my boyfriend. I had no vehicle, no keys, thinking I was okay and safe. They couldn't do anything. At the same time, I placed my hand on my purse. The cops freaked out and said, whoa, what are you doing? I said, oh, nothing. It's just my purse. I have nothing to hide. Please search it.
Wow.
Yeah, forgetting inside my purse was a certain substance that they pulled out, and I hoped they would put back and ignore, but they didn't, and I ended up getting arrested.
You were hoping that they would ignore cocaine?
Yeah.
You know,
can you just forget you saw that?
Look, we're all friends here, right?
Can you put it back?
Yes. Put it back, gosh. It's fine.
A lot of people just don't make ideal decisions when inebriated. You That's think? My takeaway nope. here.
Kat, you sound like a delight. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's completely change gears. Let's go to our second Travis of the segment, Line 7. He's in Whittier up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Taking it off the freeway and into a hotel room. Hey, Travis.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Weird. So, what happened?
I had a bachelor party last year, and pretty much we got drunk. The whole way down there, we flew to Cabo, drank the whole way down, drank the whole way from the airport to the resort, started drinking. Our rooms weren't ready, so we went to the pool. They said, don't worry about it, hang out. Just have a good time. I get so wasted. I go back to this room, which, by the way, I have no idea where it's at because we didn't even get to check in. And I don't know what happened. I find a room, find a door that's open, go in, lay down. And about 2-3 hours later, I wake up. To four dudes I don't even know. I'm a little guy. I'm only like 5'5", 6 foot, 6'4", dude. Who the f*** is this?
I don't think. I'm pretty sure that's not where it's going, Kevin.
What?
Let's find out though. So it's him with a tag team around him. Then what?
So my first thought was I'm gonna get my ass kicked. My second thought was, where am I? And so, sure enough, one of the guys goes, who are you? What are you doing? So I jump up and I think, all right, hey, let me just explain. I'm on my bachelor party. I don't know where I'm at. I'm really drunk. And they're like, oh.
All right. You're going to have to get to the point. How did it end?
One of the guys says, dude, did you throw up in our bathroom? Apparently, I had painted their bathroom red.
Oh,
and it was just
covered
in vomit.
Oh, so, no.
Luckily, the guys were really cool, and luckily, we ended up hanging out the rest of the weekend. They were hanging out with my friends. It ended up being a great situation. But
so it worked in everyone's favor. I like this. This story has a happy ending.
That's an unlikely way to make new friends, isn't it?
Break into the room. 106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Allie.
Bean.
Allie.
Bean.
Allie.
All right. I mean,
didn't like that one either.
Gross.
Didn't like it either.
Yeah.
Nope.
What's happening?
What's happening is I have a way for Kevin to be super excited about the royal wedding.
Oh, good. We've had trouble getting him on board with us.
Well, this is it. Do you guys remember when Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon hosted the Rose Bowl parade coverage on Amazon Prime?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They did it as Cord Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan. They were basically make-believe reporters. And they were wonderful.
I'm not going to lie.
So funny.
I love where you're going with this.
All right. Well, the fun couple will also be covering the wedding between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle live on HBO.
Fantastic.
Right? All right. So you've got those two pretending they're real news people, basically making a mockery of everything they're covering.
Couldn't love that more.
Beautiful, beautiful thing. So The Royal Wedding Live with Cord and Tish is going to air on HBO on Saturday, May 19th at 4:30 AM our time, because that's when the wedding takes place. However, it will be rebroadcast later that night at 6:45 our time. I just subtracted three out loud on the air.
You did.
9:45 Eastern. That's exciting.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
That's going to tick off a lot of people who are really into the royal wedding.
Yes,
love it
is.
So much.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I hope that some people still don't realize that they're playing characters.
Oh, I'm sure.
And get mad again.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Oh, the emails that they got and the tweets that they got covering the Rose Bowl parade was
magical.
So, so good.
Hey, Alan McKay, our royal wedding correspondent.
Yeah.
Any progress on my request about prop bets for the royal wedding?
Yeah, I've got a ton of stuff I'm going to look into one day.
Okay.
I will look into that.
Well, I mean, we still have almost 3 weeks, so it's not like we need it all today.
We don't want to blow our...
Royal...
Can't say that, can I? I just mouthed it. Is that helpful for radio?
That's how radio works. Really. Yes.
I mean, I think people could probably figure it out.
Probably. Yeah. Absolutely. This is sad news. Brian Wilson, Beach Boys, amazing dude, will not be doing any concerts this month. He posted on Facebook that he's been having back problems and needs surgery right away. And he hopes that this will finally relieve his back pain for good. Now, that's all, you know, sad. What a bummer. But the real surprise came when his cousin, former bandmate, and quite frankly, his nemesis, Mike Love, decided to post an old photo of them playing basketball back in the day and wrote, "Cousin, I know what it's like to have the Wilson back gene. I'm sympathetic and empathetic, as I myself have had back problems as early as junior high. I hope one day we'll be able to do something like this again. Great memories. Looking forward to perhaps one day throwing some hoops. Feel better soon, Brian. Love, your cousin."
That sounds sincere and nice.
Pick up a phone. You're 77 years old posting that on Facebook. Come on. That was a, ooh, look at me, look at me. I'm going to be nice to my cousin. Now everyone won't think I'm a super dick. Come on, Bean.
Right?
I mean, a lot of people just don't talk to people anymore. They just communicate through social media, through text and things like that.
But I feel like if it's your cousin and they're having back surgery.
And you haven't talked in how long?
Right,
and you guys kind of hate each other?
Yeah. Well, Mike Love sued Brian Wilson a lot over songwriting credits, so they have not had a great relationship throughout the years. So maybe you're right, there was a more personal way to do it. You could be right. This could just be his attempt to look good.
He's 77.
Right.
This is not like a 15-year-old on Facebook.
True,
this is a 77-year-old dude. Like, look at me. Look at me. I'm the good one. I'm the big martyr reaching out to my cousin. F you. I don't know why it made me so angry.
I don't either, but
I don't know why Mike Love now has a southern accent.
Not sure either. Oh, good times, good times. Hey, when we come back in the next What's Happening, I would like to discuss Bruce Springsteen getting a special Tony Award.
That does seem odd.
I want to discuss that, and I want to discuss whether it's fair or not, because if he does EGOT... at some point, he didn't really earn this one, right?
All right.
I mean...
we're going to discuss this later.
All right.
Because it's another... I have so much to be mad at.
Okay.
And it was all taken out on Mike Love in that last one.
All right.
So we're going to talk about that coming up.
That and the prop bets you're going to get into for the
wedding? I'm going to look those up.
Great. That's great.
In a week.
Next hour.
So what?
In a week. Okay.
All right. Again, I don't want to blow the royal...
right.
Oh, I can say that?
I don't know.
You just whispered it.
I know. They won't hear it.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson, former soccer player and best friend, would you say?
Oh, sure.
Best friend of Kevin Ryder, David Beckham, singer Lily Allen, actress Ellie Kemper, actor Robert Buckley, and actress Christine Baranski. And that's what's happening.
But having said all of that... are we still excited about the Kanye album when it comes out in June? I mean,
Here's the possible it could still be great, even if he's a weirdo now, right?
Here's the thing about Kanye is that he, in my opinion, does great music. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to hear it.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like his craziness translates into the music.
Okay. Well, yesterday, for folks who don't know, earlier today, we brought you up to speed with the almost two-hour interview that he did with Charlamagne Tha God. And then he also stopped by the TMZ newsroom yesterday. And one of the most controversial things that he said yesterday, and in fact that he's ever said, was this.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice.
Okay. There are a lot of reasons why that's an ignorant and reckless thing to say. But who was interviewing? It was Harvey and who's the other guy at TMZ who was interviewing Kanye?
Was it Van Lathan?
No.
I don't know.
They just sat there just staring at him.
Right.
And nobody said anything. Just let him ramble. And then near the end of that segment, Kanye stands up and says,
Do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
All right. That's when Van Lathan, who is a goddamn superhero, goes into action. Now, put yourself in his shoes, by the way. He's a huge Kanye West fan. He's at work. He's not involved in this interview at all, but he is listening to this. And now he's got a decision to make about, am I going to talk back? Am I going to stand up in the face of my musical hero here and tell him how wrong I think he is?
And most importantly, he didn't have a lot of time to plan it out so that he could say it well?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the most shocking thing about this to me is that I know under those circumstances, even if I felt the things that Van felt and I felt and I did, I am no way qualified to be intelligent enough, articulate enough, brave enough to stand up and say all that in front of my boss, everyone I work for, and Kanye West himself. But here's what Van had to say.
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that
is because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living a life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
And Kanye just stands there with his mouth open. He just
Didn't expect anyone to come back at him.
Didn't expect it at all. But how ballsy is that? And how right was that? And how beautiful was that speech he gave?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was so well said.
And the emotion and the disappointment and the hurt you can hear in his voice. Mm-hmm. Thank God for Van Lathan, because they literally would have let that go and just kept kissing his ass for the remainder of the interview.
Look, we had Kanye in here once, and mm-hmm. he was going on one of his rants, and mm-hmm. we were all just looking at him like, wow, he's crazy, and mm-hmm. but that mm-hmm. he really, really believes what he's saying. And it was sort of intimidating.
Yeah, and none of us felt good about that interview afterwards,
right.
If you'll recall.
We hated it.
Yeah, we had no time to prepare for it at all. It was sprung on us. He was in the building, and literally the door opened, and they said, hey, you want to talk to Kanye? And we're like, sure. And, you know, in retrospect, there's a lot of things we wish we would have pushed back on. But you're starstruck because it's freaking Kanye West. And that's why I'm, even more impressed with what Van was able to pull off yesterday. It's just amazing. What's the update? We're trying to get him on the phone.
He says, can we talk to him during what's happening in a couple minutes? Because he's still doing a live interview. He's not answering his phone.
Yes, he's very busy and very popular today, Van Lathan is. What do you think, Ali? Is that okay?
Of course. You kidding?
All right. We'll check in with Van when we come back. Then we hope right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
See that young lady in person, Alice Burton, at the K-Rock Weenie Roast a week from Saturday at StubHub Center in the third row with Kat Corbett tickets coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. All right, here's what's going on. Allie is here with what's happening. And if Mr. Too Big for His Pants to get on the phone with Kevin Bean, Van Lathan does come through, we'll interrupt immediately. But first, what else is going on?
Is he too big for his pants?
Yes,
is that what we say?
Yes, isn't that the expression?
Too big for your britches?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is britches, but
yeah,
I think,
just I think pants. Pants sounds weird.
Yeah, I think maybe britches is actually the saying. Sorry.
Is he too big for those socks there? What's he wearing over there, man? Oh, I enjoy it. I really do. Hey, by the way, you guys, E, they're going to be doing a new talk show hosted by former Cougar Town, Dawson's Creek, and Freaks and Geeks star, actress Busy Phillips. Deadline reports that the show will feature comedic commentary and interviews, as well as behind the Instagram stories. Like she already does on her Instagram. She is funny. She is witty.
She's a great choice for a talk show.
Yeah, she's great. Very personable. I look forward to that. And in case you were wondering when it would happen, well, it's on. It didn't take long with the capture of the Golden State Killer last week. HBO has already signed up to do a docuseries based on Michelle McNamara's book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer. And I, for one,
can't wait.
Cannot wait.
When white people go crazy, they really do it up.
Yeah, we pretty much still have the market cornered on serial killing. It's one of the last non-integrated industries.
We really do. Mm-hmm. Kudos us. Mm. No, mm. I don't think that's what we're saying.
I don't think so.
Bean, you're a big reader.
Sure.
Have you ever read that book? Michelle McNamara's?
No, I have it. It's on my list of books to get to. I've already purchased my copy, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
It's real good. Although I did have to warn people last week, if you get the audio version, maybe don't start it, you know, later at night when it's dark, and you will be terrified. I am just saying. But it is so excellent. And what she did, and it was basically her life's work, essentially. It just fueled her, and it is remarkable. The stuff in that book, and
it's
everything
so sad
she figured out.
She didn't live to see this.
Absolutely,
yeah. So sad.
Absolutely. Pete Rose, wow, he owes about $1 million, maybe over, to the IRS, and he claims he only earns a paltry $54,000 a month. You shouldn't maybe be rolling around town in your Rolls Royce that costs $300,000. If you owe that kind of money, maybe drive a clunker or something. No?
I mean, he's just also optics. Making $54,000 a month.
Put some of that aside.
Couldn't he pay them with that?
Don't you think?
What's happening?
I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
$54,000 a month, you guys. That is insane. All right. We teased this a little while ago, but Bruce Springsteen is getting closer to the coveted EGOT. That's an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. He has multiple Grammy Awards and an Academy Award for Streets of Philadelphia. And now he has a Tony Award because his Springsteen on Broadway show is getting a special Tony because it's, quote, a once-in-a-lifetime production.
Yeah. That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't.
It's not a Broadway play. It's a concert.
On Broadway.
Right.
Right? So now we're just giving stuff away for things that happen on Broadway?
Well,
I could get, like, best.
Hold on a sec. I don't disagree
yes, with you that it's a weird Tony to give him. I think it's mostly just because they want Bruce Springsteen on the broadcast.
Sure.
But I will tell you that it is a Broadway play, just like if you went to see Amy Schumer do a one-woman show. It's that kind of a Broadway play. It just also happens to include music. I mean, it's him telling his autobiography, his story, and interspersed in that is him performing on guitar and piano.
And then put it up for an award and see if he wins it.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's a weird, I mean...
No.
Okay.
All right. Hey, let's get...
It's a weird kind of play to put up against other kinds of plays that are so different because it's
because
a one-man
musical. Because
he'd lose.
Because he'd lose.
Maybe because he'd lose.
Hey, guys, right. Can we talk to Van Lathan?
I would like
yes.
that.
Yes, we can. American hero Van Lathan? How are you, sir? Welcome back to K-Rock.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
We're good.
What's going on is you and you and you again. We were playing the audio for our listeners a couple of moments ago. Please take us through your mindset as you're listening to Kanye rant about how slavery was a choice. Are you just burning up inside to stand up and say something, Van, or what?
I wouldn't say burning up with anger. I'm burning up with, at that moment, burning up with desire to represent the actuality of American history, to make sure that the guy who has, I've never encountered or met or been that close to a celebrity that has a bigger voice than Kanye West. Okay. And if left unchecked,
things like that get out and people start to believe them as true and they become weaponized, and then all of a sudden we're dealing with thought that's mutated into something that's horrible.
Now you had to be thinking about that, but then you had to decide, do I interject myself and make sure that I'm speaking one-on-one with Kanye and get his attention and say this?
Well, remember that he turned around and began to talk to us. So I'm from down south Louisiana, and my father has always told me, anytime anyone is speaking to you, you can speak back at any point. So Kanye West, when he was up there, if he's on TMZ Live and he's talking to Harvey and Charles, no way am I going to interrupt their interview to interject. But he turned around and he starts to address the room. And when he starts to address the room, I just felt the need in that moment to be like, yo, what are you talking about? I wasn't doing it to be, you know, to have a viral moment or do anything like that, just to kind of educate a brother that I feel like is off his square a little bit.
Well, that's exactly what you did, is you educated a brother and America when the video went viral. What was the reaction what was your impression of the reaction of Kanye in his face while he was listening to what you were saying, Van?
Well, the crazy thing about it is I think that Kanye West is there to be taught. I think that he's there to learn. I think that he has a lot of things that, for whatever reason, he hasn't fully thought through. And I don't think that he understands totally the ramifications of uninformed thought when people care about what you say that much. And so the fact that he stood there and he listened told me that he was considering it. And it makes me wonder about what kind of input he's getting from some of the people that might be around him, if in fact he's hearing things that really represent society the way they are.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. Last night you saw the tweets, Van Lathan cares about black people. You saw all the celebrities, everybody from Jessica Chastain to Chloe Bennett to Nelson George, lots of big names just applauding you. That's the last thing you expected to happen when you got up and went into work yesterday morning, right?
Of course not. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know he was coming in until after we did the big show. And it's funny because after the interview was over, I called up a couple of friends and I was like, yo, man, I just argued with Kanye West in front of the whole newsroom, man. It was weird. And then I talked my entire lunch break, and by the time I got off the phone, things were already starting to go crazy. Yeah.
Now, Van, after that all went down and Kanye left, did you at any point look around that newsroom and say, were any of you going to say anything?
No, because I think that, you know, we're all here to serve different purposes. And I think that a lot of people were aghast and taken aback by some of the things that were being said. And a lot of people also probably felt a little intimidated by, you know, their idol and, you know, by his celebrity. And not saying I didn't feel any of those things. I just didn't feel them in that moment.
When was the timing of him shouting out to everybody, I want everybody's attention, I had liposuction, I was taking opioids because y'all would have called me fat? I mean, he was basically sort of attacking the newsroom. Is that before you interjected or after?
That's before.
Before, okay.
That's before, yeah. So, like, he came in and right away he wanted to deliver a message to us, which is his tried and true way. And so after he had had, I guess his say, because he was really telling his story as he saw it, he asked a question. He asked a question, and the question was, do you think I'm thinking freely? And I gave an answer.
You sure did.
Do you think that he's going to at some point realize the platform that he has in front of him and maybe, I don't know, get rid of all these yes men and yes women around him and realize the power that he truly has?
I think that Kanye is sincerely on a mission to change the way some of these things are being considered. I think that he thinks that he's doing it the right way. And I have no issue with that. I have no issue with him, with his goal, with his, he says he's on a mission of love and to free people's minds. No problem with that. No one should begrudge him that. We should all be working to break down barriers and have more free and open conversations with one another. I think, though, that if you're going to nourish people with information, you can't do it with tainted meat. You have to make sure it's fresh and you have to make sure it's clean. And as long as there's someone that he can trust, that he can empower to make sure the input that he's getting is correct, he can actually be a very important lightning rod to maybe breaking down some of the barriers and some of the separations that we've had.
In your opinion, was he accepting of what you said?
Yes. I know that for a fact because he called me later on that night.
Oh, fantastic.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Well, Van, I know you got to go. We do too. You you pinch hit a grand slam yesterday, my friend. I'm serious. I mean, you weren't part of the conversation, but when you were needed, you were there, and you spoke for so many people around the world, and we really appreciated what you did. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing the story with us today, Van. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon, sir.
Love you guys, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, man.
Okay, bye-bye. Very cool.
How about that?
How about that meat, tainted meat analogy?
Right?
Dude, what's happening with Van lately? Like, holy crap, he's so much better than all of us. That's what
I'm
that's
saying. Always been true.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just, now we know.
Yeah.
All right, some birthdays. Dwayne Johnson, David Beckham, Lily Allen, Ellie Kemper, Robert Buckley, and Christine Baranski. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. On your drive home tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we've got Cheers with Mugs, talking Dodgers. We've got a brand new internet roundup. We've got Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. And we've got Weenie Roast tickets in the second row tomorrow morning.